Good day, everyone. Welcome to the RetroPixel podcast, where I fill the best part of your day with a healthy dose of vitamin J. I'm James, your host, and let's get right on into it. All right, so recently, well, I shouldn't say recently, it's been a long time coming that I've thought about this, and I finally made the old plunge into it, of letting go of some of my stupidly overpriced games. This isn't me getting out of the hobby or anything like that. It basically just comes down to looking at these pieces of plastic on my shelf worth hundreds of dollars, and for what? I mean, I don't need that anymore. I still have, what, like 500 plus cartridges sitting behind me. Those ones that I decided to just say, you know what, I'm done with this. In terms of holding on to them, I kind of just really wanted the money instead at this point, instead of just holding on to things that I don't know if they're going to go up in value, I don't know if they're going to plummet. I don't need it anymore. And like I said, this has been a long time coming that I've been trying to get into this realization, and I couldn't let it go, and I finally did. I sold a good handful of some of my expensives at the most recent Berry Game Exchange, and that I'll get into after this. But kind of relieving. I guess a big part of it was struggling with the last job that I had in terms of finances, kind of put things into perspective. Even though I'm not struggling now, it's kind of like, well, you know, I kind of want to grow that savings account a bit. And, you know, these cartridges, like, you know, $200 on this one, $300 on this one, you know, $75 on this one. I did the big basement clean out that I think I mentioned before, and that was therapeutic. And starting to weed out some of these stupidly expensive games that collectors want, it's time for me to just let them have them. Really, well, not have, you know, you're paying me a decent buck for them, but it's time for them to go to other homes and, you know, get a little bit of relief from that too. It's not like I don't have to worry about them being damaged in a flood or a fire or, God forbid, theft, anything like that. It's things that were, in theory, uninsurable. I mean, I could go to my insurance company and say, oh yeah, I had this $500 cartridge from 30 years ago, and they'd be like, well, can you prove how much you paid for it? I don't think they really care about what it's worth now. They kind of want the proof of what you paid for the thing in the first place. And even then, on the secondhand market, I really imagine that they would probably just screw me on it anyway. So, yeah, as much as I love the hobby, I have started to let go of some of the crazy expensive cartridges. And do I miss them? Not really at all. The only one that I do miss a little bit is Snow Brothers. That's an expensive game that I actually really, really friggin' enjoyed. The rest of them I could care less, to be honest with you, but Snow Bros, almost wish I had held on to that, but I got a decent buck for it, so let's go with that. So yeah, I finally started to let go and just embrace enjoying the hobby, not being financially tied into it anymore. Alright, and from that, I can do a real good segue into the Berry Game Exchange, which was, what, month-ish ago? Give or take, yeah, it was like a month ago. That was a fantastic time, as always, get to get together with the local crew, and then, of course, we had Sean fly in, and, oh man, I'm brain farting on the fellow that he brought with him. Very nice to meet him in person as well. We had a adventure. The whole weekend was an adventure for Amanda and I. I packed up the car. She doesn't care about any of the crap that I was selling. I packed up the car, late morning, drove on up there, and I don't know, I think we got up there roughly 2-3-ish, I can't remember, something in that area. Checked in the hotel, immediately after getting into the hotel, in the parking lot. She loves books and all that. There is a Chapters, so we didn't even have to get her, you know, get in the car again. She went to Chapters immediately after getting into the room. I went to the LCBO, which was also in the same friggin' parking lot, well, not in the same parking lot, but attached to the hotel parking lot. It was super convenient. I was able to get my little grab bag. She was able to go to the bookstore and chill out for a bit and get a Starbucks and whatnot. And then we met back in the room, sort of thing. chilled out. I dipped my legs in the hot tub or jacuzzi or whatever you want to call it. I get sore feet and legs from standing all day at work, so you know that was super awesome. And then we went over to Bill's for the, I think what's being dubbed as the Bill-BQ. And I will say that I was publicly fat-shamed over on STC Pod, but it was well-deserved from my pigging out. I didn't realize what I was doing until I went back to the barbecue and it was actually off. I'm like, well, damn it, there's still a hot dog sitting in here, so I, you know. If it's just going to sit there, you know, I better eat it before the flies start going after it. So, yeah, but I go one of two ways when I start throwing back some drinks. I either don't want any food at all, or I'll binge and be an absolute hog at a feeding trough. And that day I was the hog at a feeding trough. So, that's a version of me that I'm guessing probably not many of you folks have seen, but all those folks there saw it in person. Apparently J-Rock was the reigning champion, and somehow I have apparently dethroned that in terms of the pigging out for the Bill-BQ. So, you know, is that a title worth wearing around my neck? Maybe. I don't know. It's like, great, you're a fat, disgusting slob, and you ate a bunch of greasy food. But no, it was a good time for sure. And then the next day, got up and, packed the car up again, because I didn't take everything out of the car, but I took the valuables, like the display case and things out of the car. So, you know, reload up the car with that kind of crap. And then we had the show, and, oh my goodness, it was a great show. I really regret not being able to get any footage, but I will have to maybe try and steal some B-roll or something off of Derek or someone else at some point, because I do have a wicked pickup video. Not many items. I think it's 5 off the top of my head. Let's see. One of them was a lovely, lovely hand-me from Bill, SDC Pod. Again, there's another plug for you, buddy. He gave me a really awesome grab. Something that I don't ever intend on getting rid of. It's one of those, I don't like a lot of shelf clutter. Like, I don't buy collector's editions of games anymore and all that just for the statues. I don't care anymore. But this is a collector piece. Well, I'm going to call it a collector piece that I don't think anyone really is aware of. And I don't even know if it carries a stupid value. I'm imagining it doesn't really carry much of a value at all, because, again, I could be wrong. I've never even looked it up on eBay. It looks like one of those oddities, though. Or it's like someone that walks into my room and would see it and be like, you know, it stands out. I believe it would actually stand out because it's so odd, but it sort of flies under the radar. So that one there will be in the video. I got a lovely hand-me from Joe. That was a VHS tape from, it's like a video gaming VHS tape. I believe it's Sega, one that I don't have. And I have a hobby, well, I'll call it a hobby. I've only got like 5 or so of them. But all these like promotional VHS tapes from like Nintendo and whatnot, I try to archive them to hard drive. One, so the tape isn't lost, you know, through the, you know, degrading or whatnot, or just, you know, the tape being damaged in transit or storage in the basement or anything like that. And two, just so that the footage is completely archived, because it's a shame when these things get lost, when I don't think that there is a widespread circulation of some of these tapes. So I like to hold on to them in terms of a digital file. And that's exactly the reason why I wanted this one. He did know ahead of time that I wanted it. And so I'm going to eventually hook up my VCR again. Yes, I do still own a VCR. It's in the rest of my nerdy tech lair here. Everything else. And then I got this old VCR, but it still hums like you wouldn't believe. I'm going to archive that tape. So that was really cool. And then I got a couple of other things. Let's see, I bought two. I did get a third gimme. That was from Kevin, Buried on Mars. And I'm not going to reveal that here as well. I'm going to save that for the video. But it is a movie that I truly, it's like in my top 2, basically, of movies that I've loved since childhood. But it's on a stupidly odd format. I was honest with him, too. I'm like, dude, there is a 100% chance that I will never actually watch this movie on this format, even though I probably could figure out a way of doing it with like an old crappy laptop or something. But yeah, it's a cool shelf piece though. Again, you know, one, I have diehard fandom for this film. And two, I mean, to have it in such a stupidly weird format that's like, again, it's going to be one of those shelf things where people are like, what in the hell is that? And I'll be like, oh, well, this is on, you know, such and such film on this format. And like, have you ever watched it? No, because I'm sure the quality on it is probably going to be dreadful. But no, that's really awesome that was a gimme as well. And then, like I said, I was able to purchase two items. Well, actually, both of them were on my hunt list for a while. One, the Genesis title was on my hunt list in maybe 3-4 shows. And the other one has been on my hunt list since I bought my Neo Geo arcade cabinet, which was like well over 10 years ago. So to get that at a stupidly fair price was really good too. I was really excited to bang off two major items that I really wanted at one show. So that was great. And so along with that, like I said, I was vending and whatnot. But part of the deal was I was with the CC tables. There was what, I think, I'm going to go with 4-ish with like the like red branding and that kind of thing and the flyers and all that kind of stuff. Part of that deal was to wear a CC branded shirt, which I'm like, no problem. Absolutely. I already got mine. Good to go. Weeks ago, I even put it in one of my Twitter posts with the display case, you know, saying, hey, I got all my crap ready for Barry. My shirt was right on top of the display case, so that I wouldn't forget it. It was in the eyes. Like, here it is. It's going to go with all the crap in the car. When I was packing the car, I know damn well that shirt was with it. When I was unpacking the car to go into the hotel, I know I saw that shirt. And then the next morning came, and I'm looking for it, and I could not find it. I went through all the boxes and whatnot. I went back out to the car. I'm like, okay, well, did it fall on the floor in the car? No. And then I finally came to the realization, well, it's just not here. I mean, I know that it came with me, so I was thinking to myself, well, it either fell out of my car into the parking lot, or it fell off of the trolley that I filled up, you know, those like hotel trolleys that you put luggage and crap on. It might have fallen off of that at some point. I just had to accept that the shirt was gone. I was like, damn it. I was a little bummed out that I wasn't able to wear the shirt, but then I saw Derek the next morning, and he had a different CC shirt that he was wearing from the night before. And then I was like, bro, I'm going to ask you a really odd question, but that shirt that you were wearing yesterday, can I throw that on just so that I can rep the table properly? And I told him, like, you know, straight up, I'm like, I know this is a really weird request, so you can feel free to say no. And he was cool with it, and he's like, you know, oh, you know, it's a little funky from me wearing it yesterday. I'm like, bro, I don't care. I've got a regular t-shirt and then a long sleeve on top already, so I just threw it on top of both of those layers that I had just so that the CC branding on the shirt would show out. I'm like, bro, I can even take it home. I can make sure that we can wash it for you and then return it to you. He wasn't having none of that. He said, just give it to me at the end of the day. That's fine. So I really, really appreciate him broing me on that because like I said, I don't want to go with, you know, the term of devastation, but I was really bummed that I'd, one, lost the shirt anyways, and two, I wasn't able to rep the table until he was able to throw me that shirt literally in the parking lot. So, yeah, the whole day went on, and I got home, and even when I get home, I'm like, okay, maybe there's a chance that I just feel like it was with me in the car, because I know it was on top of the display case, and I carried it out the front door. Maybe it fell off, and it was in the front foyer of where I am. Nope, I check everywhere. The whole front foyer, then the front spot where I kept all the boxes and stuff. I went to bed going, that shirt is gone. And then 2 days later, I ended up emptying out my overnight bag and whatnot with, you know, I carry my laptop and, you know, pajamas and all that kind of crap in it. What do I find in the very bottom, like a complete tool? I guess when I was changing, and you know, from the shower and stuff, I took my pajamas and threw them into the bag, and I didn't realize the CC shirt somehow made it into that bag, neatly folded up in the bottom. The pajamas went over top of that stupid thing, so I had that shirt the whole friggin' time. Didn't even realize it until I got back home and emptied out that bag for laundry. It's just like, ugh, I felt like even more of an idiot. I don't even remember putting that shirt into that bag. I really friggin' don't. But in the end, at least I didn't lose the shirt. But man, I just wasn't paying attention or was in a rush that morning. I don't know, but the lost shirt was found, but it was found days later than what I needed it. But hey, that's the way she goes sometimes. Alright, next up, I'm going to roll on into some Apple product repair that I had attempted to take care of recently. I put up on Twitter, you know, is this something that people would be interested in? I think it was 3 out of 4 votes said yes, so I'll try and touch base on this lightly, but with a little bit of detail. I have a 2015 MacBook Pro 15-inch that was on a recall list for the battery. Apparently, it was voluntary by Apple people. I, to the best of my knowledge, didn't like start a class action lawsuit or anything. I believe Apple kind of came out and said, "Okay, yeah, these batteries are proven to be a problem. If you have the affected model number, you can get that battery replaced for free." And you know, at first when this came up, I kind of read with people kind of complaining about it, and I'm thinking to myself, no, you just got a free friggin' battery in your MacBook Pro. Those things are stupidly expensive. I remember looking for a battery on the MacBook Air that I got for ridiculously cheap, but I got that broken. I fixed it myself over time. Just to order a battery through a third-party vendor, local, I'm not even talking like shipped, I think the guys wanted something like $160 was the cheapest. I'm talking cheapest quote that I got to get that friggin' battery. And luckily for me, my good buddy that works in a lot of used parts and stuff, he had a pretty destroyed MacBook Air as well. The screen and the casing and whatnot, and the keyboard was missing keys. Like, this thing was basically a throwaway. But he's like, you know what, there's a battery, I can plug it in and it shows that it charges. Do you want to take a chance with this? And I'm like, yeah, bro, I mean, give me a price and, you know, I'll give it a shot. I'm thinking about something, you know, if he wants $20 or something for it, I don't care. He gave it to me for free, which was great, because he's like, I can't give you any kind of guarantee if this battery does even work. It just shows when I plug it in that it's charging. So I took a chance with that, and, you know, things worked out. But basically what I'm trying to establish while I go way off tangent, Mac batteries are ridiculously priced. So to get a brand new battery in a, what, 4-year-old laptop almost now, that's a huge bonus. So I encourage anybody that has this affected model, get that free battery while you can. One, they're expensive. Two, you're breathing new life into an old laptop at that point. So absolutely do it. But the process for me was, I thought that I'd have to, A, mail it away, which I didn't really want to do, but, you know, it would have been insured, so I really wouldn't have cared if it got lost or whatever. Or take it into the Mac store, which is not convenient for me, because the closest one, well, I wouldn't say it's the closest, it's almost the closest, really. But the most convenient is in the Eaton Center, which is either a, you know, not a long drive, but it's, you know, an hour or so one way, plus parking and all that kind of crap, and it's just easier for me to take the train. So I was thinking to myself, that's what I'm gonna have to do. And when I contacted them and talked about it, they told me, oh no, we have an authorized retailer, our like service center, that's much closer to you, and you can take it there and you can get a service that way, and it's still covered. I'm like, okay, that's phenomenal. I'm down with that. So it was actually down in Oshawa. I'd never heard of this place before. Tiny little nook in the wall. Honestly, I didn't even really notice the sign ever before. But I dropped it off there, which was nice that it was, you know, much, much closer to home. They quoted me 3 days. I dropped it off on a Monday. And then they contacted me on the Friday, which was much too late for me to get it anyways because I was already at work and they closed before I was done. So I didn't get it until the following Monday after. Little disappointing on the quote in terms of pickup turnaround time. But like I said, again, it was serviced for free. And I know how much these batteries cost for the average user to just get replaced. So that was a win. Was it a total win? Like, I would have rather just, you know, had it done a lot easier, but for nonetheless, a little bit of running around to get a brand new battery, that was good. I'm happy with that. And the fact that, it, you know, I didn't have to chase them around and, you know, fight for it. They were very willing to just do it for me. So that was good. I'll give them a positive on that one. And then I also have I want to call it a second generation iWatch or Apple Watch, whatever the heck they call those things. Love it. I use it every day. But it's gotten to the point where the battery has swelled up so bad that it has popped the screen off. So obviously I can't use the thing anymore. And it's well out of warranty too. I will fully admit that. It's in immaculate condition. Like, I take care of all of my stuff. But so I can't use that thing anymore. And I thought, well, they've been pretty good with batteries in the past with devices that aren't under warranty anymore. I know a buddy of mine, he had an iPhone 5, and the battery swelled to the point where, again, it popped his screen out. And he took it to the store, and they gave him just a brand new iPhone right over the counter. It wasn't an upgrade or anything, it was just another iPhone 5, but again, it was like brand new in the box. So that was really nice, and his was out of warranty. So I was thinking they'd do the same thing with this watch. And in this case, I actually did make a day trip on the train to the Apple Store thinking, okay, let's get this watch taken care of. I talked to their customer service or whatever online, you know, through the texting and whatnot. And they said, yeah, you can, you know, take it to the store. And when I got there, I handed it to the genius. I'm like, yeah, this is what the deal is. You know, I'm kind of wondering, can you guys do a swap for me? What's the deal? Can I, you know, get the battery replaced for a nominal fee, because it's not really my fault that the battery has exploded on this thing. And the guy's like, well, we can basically get your watch replaced for $99. Brand new, and it's not a repair, it's a brand new watch. Same series, though, it's not an upgrade. I'm like, okay, that's cool, I can live with that, because I use it all the time, and to get a brand new iWatch from Best Buy is like, what, $400 or $500 or something ridiculous? I'm like, I'm happy paying $100 versus that for something that I do use on a regular basis. He's like, oh, well, we do all of our products in store except for the watches. This would have to be shipped out, and then they would ship a new one back to the store, and then you come and pick it up. I'm like, oh, bro, that really doesn't work for me. I wish they had told me that online, because then I'm going to have to set aside another day trip for the train. You know, I got the train expense again, plus an entire day to go out there. Those of you that aren't in the Toronto area, if you're not aware of it, from Union Station to the Eaton Centre, it's not a long walk, but it's a bit of a hike, and I like to use the underground path because, you know, I don't like the sun and any kind of daylight. I'm a basement dweller, yes. I always take the underground path when I can, but I was like, it doesn't really work for me this time. So it's like, oh, well, what you can do is you can get back on with the customer service rep, and they can ship you a box to the house, and you can ship it out that way, and then you can make your purchase online. They'll send me, like, a bill or whatever online that I can pay with a credit card, and they'll ship me a new watch. I'm like, well, that's what I'm going to have to do, because I'm not setting aside another day trip to come out to the store again a week from now. And I haven't gone through with it yet. I've kind of put it off because I've got some traveling going on soon. So it basically comes down to this watch will be delivered when I'm gone. It's going to sit in the community mailbox, and, you know, possibly longer than I would be returning home, and then it would be shipped back, because I think the post will only let it sit in those community mailboxes for a handful of days or whatever, something like that. Or it might even be one of those deals where they ship it to the house, and then someone has to be here to sign for it, and then obviously after 3 days, Pure Later or UPS or whoever the heck delivers it, we ship it back because there's no one here to sign for it. So I have to wait until pretty much November, around Halloween, to get this process going. So I will say, getting the Apple Watch repair, negative experience. But the MacBook repair, definitely a positive experience. As much as I had to do a little more running around than what I wanted for that thing, I'm happy with the results of that one, at least. Very happy. The watch, that's been a cluster F, to put it politely. All right, next up here, I'm going to try and pad this out a little bit. I didn't have an awful lot to talk about this episode here. That's actually why this episode's a couple weeks late, because I'm like, man, there's so few topics that I've got written down here. So bear with me. I'm going to actually discuss just something. It's tech-related, but it's more personal tech-related. And that is a possible successor for me personally for the MacBook brand. Not the operating system, but the MacBooks themselves. Yes, I've been self-admitted Mac fanboy for a long time. I've had their products well over 10 years. Bought numerous things. I'm actually recording on a 2011 Mac Mini server right now. I mean, I've bought dozens of products. Well, I shouldn't say dozens, but probably getting close to nearly a dozen products over my lifetime, Apple-wise. But I've really been... I've always kind of had an admiration for the ToughBook brand. As much as they're gaudy and thick and heavy and kind of chunky to walk around with, they're not consumer friendly. They're more the industry grade, but I like them. I just, for some reason, I'm drawn to these things, and it's one of the few products that I've loved, not equally to the Apple Mac brand, but I do like them as a hobbyist tinker sort of thing. And I've been able to acquire a few over the years. One of them is basically one that I'm going to use as a hammer when I got a nail that needs to be driven into a board. It's pretty beaten. It's not worth anything, in my opinion. And then the other one that I have and was using on, I wouldn't say a regular basis, but it's a cool little handheld. It's got a dreadful keyboard on that thing, but it's one of those cool, totally waterproof. Let's not call it waterproof, but they call it water resistant, but you can carry it in the rain and open it in the rain and type on the rain, you know, while it's raining and not essentially wreck this thing. It's a cool little handheld. It's got a god-awful keyboard, probably one of the worst keyboards I've ever used, to be honest with you. And a terrible screen. Mind you, it's not, you know, none of these ToughBooks are made for gaming or anything, but I think it has a 1024 resolution on a 4x3 screen. Wait for it, but it's a 4th-gen friggin' laptop, i-series. I don't understand what the logic was behind that, but I guess that's the form factor that they've been using for literally years. So they integrated it into that. It's cool, but it's not something that you can use day-to-day, at least for me. And then the third one that I got was exhibiting quite heavy issues, and I got that one stupid cheap. That's the only way I get these things, is stupid cheap, because I can't afford to buy these things otherwise. And I finally sat down to fix this thing and see if I could at least get this thing working to the point that I'm happy with it. Because when Derek was over for my charity stream, he brought over a ToughBook tablet, and I'm thinking to myself, Derek, I hate you, because you've shown me something that I kind of want now, even though I'll never spend the money on one, because they're pretty ridiculously expensive too. But it was like, oh, you're bringing me back into the ToughBook brand again, bro. I hate you for it. But, you know, love, but I still hate you, bro. I hate you for that. So I got this thing out, and I started tinkering with it, and needless to say, the hard drive was completely mutilated inside this thing in terms of health. The RAM wasn't functioning proper anymore either. This thing barely functioned, to be honest with you. It powered on, but it barely did anything. I only found one stick of RAM. I know that I've got more floating around here. I want to actually put it up to 8 gigs. It's got 4 in it now. And replaced the hard drive with a SSD and some other, you know, tried to clean it up as much as I could without totally taking this thing apart, because these things are not user-friendly, to be honest with you, at all. But yeah, this thing, I'm loving this friggin' laptop now. It is little bit different form factor. It's got an actual widescreen. It's still not like HD or anything, but it's a widescreen. It's a larger laptop to carry around. It's got a built-in metal handle, which I'm loving that part of it. It looks really cool to walk around with, actually. It almost looks like, you know, hey, I'm in a situation of business where I matter because I got this really cool looking laptop. But yeah, it's basically like a briefcase. Fourth gen i5, same as the other one. But yeah, I'm really loving this thing. It's got a fantastic keyboard. I've never thought that I would say this ever since getting into the Mac brand. I like this keyboard better than my Mac keyboard. I like it better than the MacBook keyboard. I like it better than the MacBook Air keyboard. I've got this chiclet style one here on my desk that I've had for well over 10 years. Never had to replace it because I love it. This is like the de facto keyboard of any Mac product that I've ever owned. It's just a straight desktop keyboard that they made. I love this thing. And yet, the Toughbook that I think it's the CF53 model. This thing has such a great keyboard. This would be my daily driver if it had macOS on it. It makes me wish that Apple got out of the, super cool and thin range that they do, but it'd be amazing if Mac would actually make like a Toughbook branded MacBook. Oh, I'd be all over that. But yeah, so this thing here, it's as soon as I can get a Hackintosh version of macOS on this thing, it will probably replace the 2015 MacBook Pro that I got, just because this thing is so versatile. It has an amazing keyboard. I will say the touchpad on this thing sucks, but touchpads on almost every laptop I've used, I've never been happy with them. If it's a laptop and I have a flat surface beside me, I'm plugging in a corded mouse, I'm going to attach a wireless mouse through Bluetooth, I'm going to use a mouse versus the touchpad any day of the week. But nonetheless, it's so strange that a enterprise product that isn't consumer-driven in terms of the marketplace at all, and I absolutely adore this thing since I decided to get this thing up and running, put in the time for it. It's such a great product. I'd love to buy a brand new Toughbook now, but those things are thousands of dollars. Guess what? I'm not doing it. But I'm telling you, if I could get, as soon as I get a Hackintosh on this thing, this will be my daily driver. It will actually replace my MacBook Pro that I have now, and I don't want to go so far as to say that I would sell it, but I would almost consider selling the 15-inch MacBook Pro that I got if I can get this thing to the point that it's equally on par. And it won't be equal in power in terms of the CPU and all, but honestly, I love this friggin' Toughbook. I definitely am going to be making a video on it in the future. Once I get the Hackintosh on that thing, if I can ever get it to work properly, I'll do a video on this thing, and it'll basically be titled something, I'm not going to call it clickbaity, but let's say the toughest MacBook that Apple doesn't make, sort of one of those kind of videos, and then go over the specs of this thing and how awesome this friggin' Toughbook is for a product that was never aimed at the consumer level. Alrighty, and lastly here, this will be a two-parter sort of deal, but you know, split them up. But there's the same kind of topic here. This is more of a life portion of what's going on with me. So if you want to click off the podcast at this point, now is your time to do so. But I am going to be traveling shortly to a little-known venue or festival or convention, whatever you want to call it, known as PRGE. I've never been. I'm stoked because I hear many awesome things, and of course there's going to be some awesome people local to that area that will be joining us. Anyways, it's going to be great. At least I'm hoping it'll be great. I'm optimistic that it will be. I haven't flown in 4 years. Yeah, it's been 4 years since I've been on a plane. And to be honest with you, I find the whole experience of flight and the airport and all that to be downright miserable. I'm not looking forward to the travel out there, but I am looking forward to my adventure out there. But yeah, I got one of those, the only tickets that I could get, It's got a stopover. It's going to be a miserable friggin' experience. I got to get on two planes. I got to get off two planes. I've got to sit in a second airport halfway through my day waiting for that second flight. I'm not looking forward to that at all. My intention is to hopefully sleep as much as possible just so that I'm not, hating myself sitting in one of those crappy seats. You know, it's whatever the cheapest they had, coach or whatever they call that. It's just one of those basic airliners. I can't remember who the heck it is off the top of my head. But I find that I get squirrely in the seat come like hour three. I'm getting the urge to want to have to get up and, you know, walk around and do something, and you can't. So that's the most miserable part for me. Maybe those of you that fly on a more regular basis can give me some tips on some leg exercises or something that I can do while sitting in my seat where, you know, I don't disturb the people around me sort of thing. But I think for the most part, I'm just going to have to try and sleep as much as I can through that thing, keep myself occupied, pull out a laptop or something, maybe try and watch something or work on something, whatever. I got the Switch, obviously, so that'll hopefully be a bit of a distraction as well. But yeah, not looking forward to the flight at all. Like, I'll be straight up honest with you. I know this sounds a little bit entitled. Oh, well, you should feel lucky enough to be able to get on a plane and go. I'm very thankful for that. But personally, any time that I've ever flown before, I've always felt it to be a miserable experience, even when everything goes right. But nonetheless, it's going to be a good time. Really hoping forward to that, really looking forward to it, and hoping it's going to be a good time. So there's going to be plenty of things going on. There's going to be a very good chance that I will have my phone out with the camera and all that, so I'll be getting snapshots and some video and things like that, and of the whole adventure. And then I guess what I will do is close this off with the items specifically that I'm looking for. Alright, so this is the sort of wish list here that I've got going on. Like I said, I've crossed two of them off from Barry Game Exchange, so that's great, but this is sort of the remainder that I've got. It's not everything that I've got on my wish list, but it's the things that I think are most realistic, and then a few that are the more expensive ones, hard to find, that I'm hoping maybe PRGE has because I've never found them out here. First up, really would like to get my hands on Ghoul Patrol. It's apparently the successor or kind of a sequel to Zombies Ate My Neighbors, which I love that game. I'm not good at it, but I thoroughly enjoy that game enough that I bought it on both the Genesis and SNES. So I would love to see the follow-up, Ghoul Patrol. Let's see, I also have Phalanx on here. This is one of those rare occasions where I actually do want it in the box. Super Nintendo, it's like a standard shoot 'em up or shump or whatever you call it. But the box is ridiculous. It's basically like a hillbilly with a banjo on the cover, which makes absolutely no rhyme or reason or sense as to what the game is. And that's kind of why I want it, just because it's so bizarre and out there. But even if I get Phalanx as a loose cart, I'll take it. Mortal Kombat Trilogy for the N64. Yes, it has to be N64. I remember renting it years ago on the PlayStation. Quite enjoyed it. I found the load times to actually be pretty tolerable, considering. But the Shang Tsung character, that made it unplayable for me. Anytime that you, either you playing or the CPU playing as that character, wanted to do a morph, it just halts the game mid-fight. And I found that stupidly distracting. Don't want it, and to the best of my knowledge, that issue does not present itself on the N64. That's the copy that I want. NBA Jam Tournament Edition, specifically on the Sega CD. I've had it on the cartridge, and I think I've actually gotten rid of it since then because I don't hold any nostalgic value for that one specifically. But I do hold nostalgic value for the Tournament Edition on Sega CD. I had it when I was a kid, and I would actually like to get that back on my shelf. I know it's probably not worth all that much, but I've never seen it out here, and I'm not willing to pay for shipping and all that kind of crap on eBay. So if I find that, great. I would I'd actually be considering buying that in a destroyed clamshell case, because I have replacements here that I can fill it with. As long as I get the artwork, though, like the booklet on the front and the leaflet on the back and the disc, I don't even care if it's in a great case or not. Honestly, that case will probably get mutilated with my travels back anyways. So even if I were to buy it with a pristine case, that thing's likely going to get destroyed coming back. So I'm good if the vendor gives me a crappy case. And then here's the two more expensive ones that are, like I said, I never see them ever in my area, but I'm hoping maybe a vendor has one of the two. Bust-A-Move on the 3DO. I know that's going to probably cost me a pretty penny. I would actually be considering getting that loose disc. I'm not a huge 3DO collector, but I would love to have a copy of that. So loose disc, even if it's fairly pricey, I will take it. And I also have I've been wanting one of these since I saw it. I want to say it was in like a game magazine, like GamePro or something. Super excited for this thing. And then we never friggin' got it here. And as a kid, I was like, I wanted this thing. I really did. I was like, Mom, I want this for Christmas if it comes out or when it comes out, whatever. Never saw the stupid thing. But I would love to get my hands on a legit one. And that is the Game Boy Light. And this was I believe it was only released in Japan or that region. But North America never got it, to the best of my knowledge. Nowhere else it got it on the planet. I think it was just basically Japanese. But there's no region locking on the Game Boy, so, you know, one, that's a win right there. And two, I've always wanted the legit Nintendo version of this. Like, I mean, I have a Game Boy Pocket that I modded with one of those backlit screens. Yeah, that's cool and all, and it works, but it's not the real deal. I want the real deal Game Boy Light that was released from Nintendo. And I'm willing to pay the price for that, too. Like, I mean, what I see online from eBay and stuff, a decent condition ones easily fetch well over 100 US. And really, really crappy condition ones, like I'm talking really beaten up ones, missing the back, the battery cover and the case just mutilated in terms of like the paint's all chipped off and the screen's in pretty crappy shape with, not the screen itself, but the plastic cover that goes over top of it. You can replace those. No, I think that might actually have the branding Game Boy Light on that plastic piece that you would be normally taking off to refurbish one of these things and put it back. Okay, so cancel that. It would actually have to be in good shape in terms of that screen cover too. The, you know, the plastic part that's like a sticker that goes over top of the screen. That would actually have to be in good condition too for me to buy it. But I regardless, if it's in really crappy shape and the screen part's in good shape, I'll buy it because I can try and refurb it somehow, maybe into like a Game Boy Pocket case that I already have. But I would really, really love to spend, I mean, even if it's like 150 US, I know that sounds ridiculous, but if it's in pristine condition, I would be willing to drop 150 US on a Game Boy Light for sure. So yeah, those are my hunts and wants for my PRGE adventure. And hopefully I filled this up with enough useless fluff to, looks like, close to 45 minutes here by the time I edit it out. Let's call this a 40-ish minute podcast. So hopefully I've at least filled not quite an hour of your day, but, you know, a little more than a half-hour lunch break. And I will catch you with the next one. Peace out.